Glory to God. If you want to join us for singing Christmas carols, we're going to be singing Christmas carols on Saturday, December 19th at noon. And if you want to join us, meet here at the church at 11:30, and we're going to be singing carols on the square in Palmyra and passing out some hot chocolate and maybe some other things. So it'll be a great time. And why are we doing it at noon? Because that's when the people are out. They're not there at nighttime. So we want to be there when the people are there. Amen? And then our... Oh, yes. If you'd like to bring candy canes, we're going to attach the candy cane message on there that speaks of the blood of Jesus and how he's purified us. So we need candy canes. So if you want to bring some boxes of candy canes to pass out, bring them to the church. Put them on that table with the big wreath there that talks about our candlelight service. You can put it on it, under it, or by it. Amen. So you can bring in boxes of candy cane. And then we'll be having our candlelight service on Wednesday, December 23rd, from 7 to 8. So we'll have our candlelight service. And what we do is we just, we go through the story of Christmas. Different people read. If you'd like to sing or read a poem in between, you can do that. And so our candlelight service will be December 23rd. And I believe that that covers everything. If not, oh yes, thank you. This Saturday is woven for all the ladies. If you're married, starting at 9 a.m. on Saturday, there's going to be special prayer for your husbands. So for the married women, it's going to be 9. And then for all the women, whether you're married or not, you can come at 10. But for the married women, they're going to meet also at 9 a.m. for special prayer for their husbands. No, woven is this Saturday, and then caroling is the 19th. Yeah, so it's like one Saturday from now. Oh, yes, thank you. And then our outreach team is going to go out from 4 to 5 p.m. on Saturday to invite people to church. And then so if you want to join our outreach team at 4 o'clock, praise the Lord, we got a lot of things going on. You know, you got a lot of things going on when it's hard for you to remember everything. Praise God. If you have your Bibles this evening, and you should never come here without your Bible. And if you need a Bible, we do have some Bibles. And I want you to turn to the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 11. And Deuteronomy, chapter 11. And we're going to look at verse 21. Now, King James says it a certain way, and then there's some other versions that say it a certain way as well. But we're going to read verse 21, and it says that your days may be multiplied, and the days of your children, in the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers to give them, as the days of heaven upon the earth. And the Young Literal Translation also uses the days of heaven on the earth, and it's really speaking of forever. But I want to talk to you tonight about having heaven on earth. Amen? You believe we can have heaven on earth? Now, I'm not talking about that we're just going to spend out our days on the earth, you know, because we believe in a rapture. We believe that when Jesus comes, the church is going to be caught away and we're going to be changed in an instant and we're going to be with him. But I'm talking about having heaven on earth. Amen? Whose image were we created in? God's image. Okay? Actually, earth is kind of like a reflection of heaven. And there's a lot of things that God does from heaven on earth. Okay? So we're going to look into this a little bit. Go with me to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. And let's look at verse 10. Having heaven on earth is really embracing the blessing of God and walking in it. It's using God's power, God's wisdom, God's strength, God's authority to accomplish His will on this earth. All right? How many know that God has a will that He wants to do on this earth? Amen? How many know that it's God's will that all should be saved? All right? Everybody should have an opportunity to either receive or reject the gift of salvation. That's God's will. Okay? And He accomplishes His will, which originates in heaven because that's where His throne is on this earth. Matthew 6:10, talking about when the disciples asked Jesus to help them pray, and He said this as part of what He was instructing them. He said, "Thy kingdom come, Your will be done in earth as it were." So God wants His will done on earth just like it is in heaven. So if He wants His will done on earth, then we can have a little bit of heaven on earth. Amen? And when Jesus comes again, He's going to give the final makeover to earth. Okay? And it's going to be a glorious time when He comes. But until He comes, we need to use heaven's resources right here where we are. God wants you to live a victorious life while you're here. He wants you to finish your course and He wants you to finish your race and to finish your course with joy. God's got a course, a design, a plan for you to follow. And you do His plan and His will on this earth. All right? You have a job to do. And some people are going to have heaven on earth. Some people don't have heaven on earth because they're not hooking up with God like they should. Okay? All right? Let me give you another example. Go with me to Numbers chapter 14. Numbers. You know, what does the Bible say about angels? They're ministering spirits, and they're here to help who? Those who are heirs of salvation, right? Where do the angels reside? Huh? In heaven? But yet they come to earth to help us out, amen? So that's in a sense, it's kind of having heaven on earth. All right, Numbers chapter 14. And let's look at verse 21. The Lord was talking here, and He said, "But as truly as I live, all the earth shall be filled with the glory of the Lord." Amen? Now, that hasn't happened yet. The whole earth is not filled with His glory. But that's part of having heaven on earth. Okay? Go with me to Isaiah chapter 24. Isaiah chapter 24. And look at verse 23. Told you it was going to be a little different tonight. Amen? Now, this is referring to when the Lord comes back again. Verse 23 of Isaiah 24, it says, "Then the moon shall be confounded, and the sun ashamed, when the Lord of hosts shall reign in Mount Zion and in" where? "Jerusalem, and before his ancients gloriously," or his elders. So he's going to reign in Jerusalem. All right? Go with me to Malachi chapter 1, last book of the Old Testament. Malachi chapter 1. When I'm talking about heaven on earth, I'm simply talking about God's will being done here, God's desires being accomplished here, God's way being fulfilled here, okay? God's power being operated here. Is there any sickness in heaven? No. When Jesus came down to earth, what was one of the main things that he did? He healed people. And there were times when he healed all sickness and all disease. And people were getting healed everywhere he went. That's what I call when heaven invades earth. You know, in college, we were part of a group, Pastor Fiona and I, called Pioneers for Christ, or PFC for short. Now I'm in VCF and I wasn't PFC. And we would go into other places, other states, other cities, and we called them invasions. And we would take a group of on-fire college kids, and we would travel in a van, and we would go into these churches that would call us, and we would do evangelism. We would do their service. We would do the worship. We would do drama. We would do preaching. You know, we pretty much did it all. But we called them invasions. We would take our zeal and what the Lord had given us, and we would bring it to somewhere else and share it with them. We would help people evangelize from their community, in their community. We would be from Cleveland, Tennessee, and let's say we would go to Atlanta, Georgia, or something, and we would go in, and we call them invasions. And that's kind of what I'm talking about. I'm talking about when we connect with God and we hook up with God and God's will gets accomplished here on earth, it's like having heaven on earth. Do you understand? Okay. Malachi chapter 1, verse 11. "From the rising of the sun, even unto the going down of the same." Where does the sun rise and go down? On earth, right? Well, it's not actually on earth, but the sun doesn't rise in heaven because it's always bright. There's no darkness. Okay? "From the rising of the sun even to the unto the going down of the same, my name shall be great among the Gentiles. And in every place incense shall be offered unto my name, and a pure offering, for my name shall be great among the heathen." Can you imagine that there's coming a time when God's name is going to be great in Africa, in Asia, in Thailand, in all those places? His name is going to be great, says the Lord of hosts. So do you get the picture? When we're going to study Deuteronomy chapter 11 a little bit more in depth as we go along with this. All right? Go with me to Matthew chapter 1. Let's look at verse 20, Matthew 1:20. And the angel was talking to Joseph here, but while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, "Joseph, son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, you shall call his name Jesus, meaning Savior, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled. Notice, it was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Well, where is God with us? Right here on earth, right? That's what I'm talking about, having heaven on earth, is having God, his strength, his power, being activated and operating in this earth. Okay, go to Matthew chapter 28. Matthew chapter 28. I'm just simply laying the groundwork right now of what we're talking about. Having heaven on earth. Look at verse 18. Matthew 28, 18. Jesus came and spoke unto them, all power is given unto me in heaven and where? And in earth. Now notice what he does with his power. He establishes the fact that he has all power in heaven and in earth. And then he then delegates that power to his disciples. And he says this, go, you therefore, and teach all nations, so that all nations can have heaven on earth as they experience God's power, God's goodness, God's grace, and it comes through teaching. But we know that Jesus has all power in heaven and earth, but he told his disciples to go. Teach all nations. How many nations? He wants the glory covering the earth as the waters cover the sea. Baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. When a person accepts Jesus Christ, their citizenship changes. They're no longer a citizen of this world. They're now citizens of heaven. They're members of the household of God. They're part of the family of God. They're a child of God. And you now have heaven backing you up. The Bible says in Matthew, I think it's 16:19, if two of you agree as touching any, if two of you on earth agree as touching anything that the Word of God says, what's going to happen? Can you imagine the power that's released when two people on earth agree with what God said? That God's power is going to come on that thing and it's going to make it come to, it's going to bring it to pass. When you get into agreement with another person on earth and you speak the same thing that God spoke, he said that thing will come to pass. It will happen. It's an assurity. This is how God's power works in this realm. Are you understanding me so far? Go with me to John chapter 1. John chapter 1. Verse 6, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. See, God called John. He created John to be a forerunner, to announce the way for people, for Jesus to come. And the same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lights every man that comes into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. Imagine that. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. See, something happens when heaven comes down to a person who's lost. It changes your birthright. You now become born of God. When you were dead in this world, you were dead in sin, but when you accept Jesus Christ as Lord, something happens on the inside of you. God's power connects with you, and you are now born of God. Say, I'm born of God. Now look at verse 14. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Heaven on earth, he dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Hallelujah. I don't know about you, but I was excited when heaven came to earth. I was excited when Jesus, he came out of glory and he became a man and he gave his life as a sacrifice. And because of what he did, I can now connect with my Father in heaven. I now have an open door to the Father. Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. He was evidence that heaven had come to earth. There were times when he would minister to people when he would say, the kingdom of God is at hand. Well, heaven is here. It's in the form of the Word of God and the Holy Spirit. All right? Go with me to Matthew chapter 3. Matthew chapter 3. And let's look at verse 13. Then came Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. But John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of you, and you come to me? And Jesus answering and said unto him, suffer it to be so now, for thus it becomes us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he suffered him, or he allowed him. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. What came from heaven? God's voice, God's announcement came from heaven onto earth to tell them that this was his beloved Son, in whom he was well pleased. Heaven came down. Go with me to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. I'm telling you what, when you have heaven on earth, you have joy, unspeakable, and full of glory. When you have heaven on earth, you have peace in the midst of the worst turmoil. When you have heaven on earth, guess what, folks? We can have heaven on earth every day. All we have to do is hook up with God, and we're going to find out how to do that. Acts chapter 2, verse 1. When the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place, And suddenly there came a sound from where? There came a sound from heaven, an audible sound from heaven. And it was powerful. It was awesome. It was sounded like a freight train. It came from heaven. Where did it come to? Jerusalem, on earth. What did it do with the people that were there? It filled them full of power. See, when heaven comes on the scene, power comes on the scene. When heaven comes in your body, guess what? Power comes in your body. Power to heal, power to live, power. So this is what I'm talking about when I say heaven on earth. Now let's go back to Deuteronomy. Probably not going to get through all this tonight, but that's all right. Deuteronomy. How do we have heaven on earth? He tells us some things before he got to that verse 21 where he says, your days shall be like heaven on earth. Verse 1 of Deuteronomy chapter 11. Therefore, you know what that word means? You better see what it's there for. You shall love the Lord your God. If you want to have heaven on earth, the very first thing that you're going to have to do is fall in love with God. Matter of fact, Jesus said it's the greatest commandment. Out of all the many commandments that there are in the Bible, the greatest one is to love the Lord your God with what? All your heart, all your soul, and all your strength, right? So the very first key that unlocks you having heaven on earth is to love the Lord your God. Love Him. Fall in love with Jesus. Fall in love with His Word. And fall in love with the Holy Spirit. Fall in love with God. You know what it's like to be in love? Love is God is love. What Jesus did on the cross was love. Love is so powerful. The Bible says that love cannot fail. Love will hold up under anything. Love will make your faith work. So the first thing that we have to do to have heaven on earth is to love God. You know, I came to the conclusion a while ago that if people would just fall in love with Jesus, a lot of their problems would disappear. You just need to reinvigorate your love for the Lord. That means in worship, you let yourself go. You don't hold back. See, when you're in love, you spend every dime that you have. You know, Brother Hagin told this story when he was dating his wife, before he was her wife, Aretha. He would go to the gas station and he would pull up and he would say, fill her up. But he would have his hand outside the window with just one. But he was trying to impress her. See? And see, because when you're in love, you'll do that. When you're in love, you just want to impress the person that you're in love with. You want to be with them. You want to talk with them. You know, you don't want to leave their presence. Fall in love with God. Step number one in having heaven on earth is to love God. Fall in love with Him. Number two, he goes on to say, keep His charge, His statutes, His judgments, and commandments sometimes, right? Always. See, if you want heaven on earth, it's not automatic. You have a part to play. You've got to keep His charge, His statutes, His judgments, and His commandments. All right? You've got to practice them. You've got to do them. You've got to keep them in a safe place. Where's the best place to keep His commandments, charges, and statutes? Right here. Go with me to Joshua chapter 1. Joshua chapter 1. He basically gives to Joshua what he gave to Israel in Deuteronomy. Look at verse 2 of Joshua chapter 1. Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise. You know, there comes a point in time in life when you may have to leave what is dead and arise to something new. Amen? Maybe it's a tradition that you held dear to. There comes a point in time when some things die and you got to arise. You got to move forward. And go over this Jordan, you and all this people, unto the land which I do give them, even to the children of Israel. Verse 3, every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. So, pretty powerful. Every place where the sole of your foot shall tread, that I have given to you. So guess what? You're going to have to tread. You're going to have to walk. You're going to have to take a stand. See, when you take a stand for something in the Word and you make a decision that you're going to stand there, that's when it's going to become yours. That's when you're going to take ownership of it. That's when you're going to have heaven on earth. He's giving him some instruction. Verse 5, he said, there shall not any man be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not fail you nor forsake you. That's good news. When you say that you tried something and it didn't work, don't tell me that it was God. Because God says right here, I'll never fail you. Right? I'll never forsake you. But you've got to hook up with God. Notice verse 6. Be strong and of good courage. You think he might have had a problem with strength and courage? Look at verse 7. Only be strong and very courageous. You know what? It's going to take strength and courage to hook up with God, because hooking up with God is not popular. When you hook up with God, people are going to think you're weird. They're going to call you a fanatic. They're going to call you... They did it with Jesus. But he stood his ground. He refused to compromise. And guess what? He brought heaven on earth. And we can have heaven on earth, but it's going to take strength and courage. Sometimes to have heaven on earth, it's going to take courage for you to step out and do something you've never done. It's going to take strength to stand even with all the pressures that life and the devil try to throw at you. All the suggestions that he tells you, you'll never amount to anything. You've got to overcome that. When someone says you'll never amount to anything, you've got to make a decision. No, that's not what the Word says. So I'm going to take strength and courage, and I'm going to resist that. You want heaven on earth? It's going to take strength and courage. Having heaven on earth is not for the weak. Jesus was not weak. He was not a wimp. He would... Think about this for a minute. When people tried to kill Jesus, he didn't get all flustered. They're trying to kill me. What am I going to do? He would simply walk away. You talk about strength and courage. When 5,000 men showed up for dinner, why do they emphasize the men? Because the women and children don't eat much. But the 5,000 men showed up for dinner. Jesus wasn't running around. What are we going to do, Peter? What are we going to do, Andrew? What are we going to do? He simply says, he wasn't even nervous. That's strength and courage. See, it takes strength and courage to have heaven on earth. And we get our strength and our courage from heaven, from the Lord, strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. So he told Joshua to be strong and take courage and be strong and very courageous. Now notice verse 8. Let's look at verse 7. Be strong and very courageous that you may observe to do according to all the law. This reflects to Deuteronomy 11:1. Which Moses, my servant, commanded you, turn not from it to the right hand or to the left. See, what's going to happen is you're going to be tempted to turn from what God's word said. You'll be tempted to side with your feelings. My feelings, this is how I feel. Your feelings can be strong, but they can also be wrong. Just because you have a strong feeling doesn't mean it's right. Amen? Do you want to have heaven on earth or not? If you want to have heaven on earth, you can't go by your feelings. Sometimes when you get prayed for, you don't feel a thing, but you got to believe that God's working. You've got to believe that His word is true no matter how you feel. Because sometimes He just wants you to have faith, not feeling. As many as walk by feeling and not by sight. No. Sometimes it takes strength and courage to walk by faith and not by your senses. We're so attuned to walking by our senses, and our senses can lead us astray from what God wants to do in that moment. So he was told not to turn from what God said, that you may prosper wherever you go. Do you think that heaven wants you to prosper? How would you like to prosper wherever you go? If I go here, I'm going to prosper. If I go here, I'm going to prosper. That means whatever direction you go, he said you'll prosper. But you've got to be strong and courageous, and you've got to do all what the word says to do. What if you're missing it in one part? That's one part that you're not going to prosper in. But all it does is take a little adjustment that you can prosper whithersoever you go. That's a powerful statement. But it was based upon whether or not he did what the Lord told him to do. Look at verse 8. This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth. That means don't forget it. If you're not speaking the word, what are you speaking? That doesn't mean we have to go around just quoting scripture all the time. But you know what? Scripture should come up a lot. What God says should come up a lot throughout your day. It should come to your mind. How shall a man, young man cleanse his way? When he meditates on the word. When you keep your mind on the word, he said he'll keep you in perfect peace. So you don't necessarily have to be speaking the word all the time. You can be thinking about it. You can be meditating about it. But you're letting what the word says go through you. He said, this book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night. Say day and night. That's at least twice a day. Say twice a day. Someone made a powerful statement one time. He said, what great men do daily, ordinary men do occasionally. Sometimes greatness comes by what you do on a consistent basis every day. You want to be great in the Lord, then day and night. Day and night. Morning and evening. Meditate in it day and night. Why? That you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then, say then. The then comes after speaking the word and meditating in it day and night. Then, you'll make your way prosperous, and then you'll have good success. Maybe we're not prosperous or successful because we haven't done it day or night, and we haven't spoken it frequently. But see, if you want heaven on earth, this is something that we got to do. God gave Joshua the key to getting into the promised land in verse 8. Speak the word, meditate in it, observe to do it, then you'll make your way. He didn't even say, then the Lord will make your way prosperous. No, then you'll make your way prosperous. But you got to do it God's way. Amen? We're not going to have heaven on earth doing things our way. It doesn't work that way. We're not the Lord. And thank God we're not. Amen? Say, thank God I'm not the Lord. Let's go back to Deuteronomy chapter 11. See, I didn't really know what direction that this was going to go, but now it's becoming more and more clear. See, because the promised land, what is the promised land to a believer? It's all the promises, all the benefits that God gives to us in His Word. See, Egypt represented a type of the world. We were in bondage under the world system. And the Lord brought us out with a great deliverance. But He brought us out to bring us into something. See, we're Christians now, and we've been brought into the kingdom of God. And in God's kingdom, He's got a lot of things that He wants to give us. He's got a lot of things that He wants us to have. And it's through the Holy Spirit who shows us what belongs to us so then we can take possession of it. So the promised land represents all of the promises in Christ Jesus. All right? Deuteronomy 11 and verse 2, it says, "Know you this day, for I speak not with your children which have not known, and which have not seen the chastisement of the Lord your God, His greatness, His mighty hand, and His stretched out arm, and His miracles and His acts which He did in the midst of Egypt, unto Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and all this land." So, you've got to remember, and verse 4 it says, "And what He did unto the army of Egypt, unto their horses and unto their chariots, how He made the water of the Red Sea to overflow them as they pursued after you, and how the Lord has destroyed them unto this day, and what He did unto you in the wilderness until you came unto this place." Never forget where the Lord brought you from. Never forget what the Lord did for you. If it had not been for the Lord, where would you be today? I don't know about you, but I probably wouldn't be here if it had not been for the Lord. Thank God that He intervened in my life. I don't know about you, but I did some stupid things in my life. And I will probably still do some stupid things yet. It's just one of those things. The flesh is stupid. Amen? But the Spirit is smart. So when we operate by the Spirit, we'll be smart. But when we operate by the flesh, we'll be stupid. Amen? That's just the truth. And the Bible tells us that we can operate according to the Spirit or the flesh. We have a choice. The fruit of the Spirit is what? All those nine different things. Love, joy, peace. So you got to remember His signs, and you got to remember His deliverance. That's part of having heaven on earth. When Sarah, and I'm going to close here shortly. When Sarah began to consider the faithfulness of God, what happened in her? Something happened in her womb. Her womb became activated with regenerative power. And her womb that was dead now became alive. What caused life to come to her womb? When she simply thought about the faithfulness of God. Just thinking about how God was faithful then will let you know that He's going to be faithful for you today. If He sustained you then, He'll sustain you today. If He healed you then, He'll heal you today. Why? Because the Lord doesn't change. And see, when she began to meditate on the goodness of God, the faithfulness of God, heaven invaded her womb. And it caused a 90-year-old woman's womb to be alive that was strong enough to give birth to a son. Her womb was strong enough now to carry a baby for 9 months that had not ever carried a baby before. That's how powerful it is to have heaven on earth. It can change your situation in an instant. It can cause a suddenly to occur that you never thought could occur like that. When heaven invades earth, and I'm using invade because it's a strong, powerful word. He said we can have the days of heaven on earth. God's will needs to be done on earth, where? As it is in heaven. And he tells us in his word what goes on in heaven. There's lots of scriptures that talk about heaven. So we're going to continue on with this next week until however the Lord says, okay, that's enough, go on to something else. Coming up, we are going to be talking about worship, maybe in January. We're going to go into depth of worship and what that really is. But I don't know about you, how about if we just allow heaven to invade our services? What's going to happen when heaven comes down during worship and people start seeing angels or miracles start taking place right here, right now, like that, like popcorn, boop, 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 miracles? Do we want heaven in our worship? If you want heaven in our worship, say amen. Amen. If you want heaven in your finances, how many want heaven in their finances? I want heaven in my finances. Well, in order for you to have heaven in your finances, what does that mean for us? You got to take some of your finances and plant them in the ground, right? Isn't that what God says? You know, it's amazing how certain miracles were unlocked with giving. Did you know that it was Cornelius's giving and prayers that caused the Lord to send an angel to him? Read it in Acts chapter 10. It was his giving of alms and his prayers that had come up to heaven before a memorial. Does your giving remind God to bless you or to shake you? I'll let you say lie on that for a moment. But you see what I'm talking about. We can have heaven on earth when we hook up with God and do things his way. Now, if you don't want heaven on earth, the only thing that's left is bondage. And the Lord came to deliver us out of bondage. He is a bondage breaker. But you have got to participate with him his way. If you want to let go of your bondage, you can. And he'll take the bondage that ensnares you. He tells us to lay aside every weight, the things that hinder you. It's up to you to lay it aside. He's given us his authority to deal with the devil. You don't have to pray, Lord, send this devil away. That's an unscriptural prayer because he's given you his authority to deal with that devil. You, as a believer, you could be a believer, you could be a day-old believer, and you have authority over the devil. Do you understand that? You, say, I have authority to tread. You know what it means to tread? That means he's under the sole of your foot. Tread on serpents and scorpions, those are always representative of the enemy. And over all the power of the devil. You can read it, Luke 10:19. Nothing shall by any means hurt me. Say, the devil can't hurt me. Say, I have authority over him. So if you're in bondage, it's not the devil's fault, it's your fault. It's because you gave place to the devil. He can't come in uninvited. But he is looking for a place where he can come in. Now, I believe that there is an anointing here to have heaven active and operating in whatever you need. Maybe you're here tonight and you have a need. You need something done. You need God's power. You need his grace. You need his peace. It is here for you to receive from. So if you have a need, God wants you to receive. And I'd like to pray with you. If there's anybody here tonight that would like prayer, I want to pray with you right now. And I want us to just stay connected to heaven. Amen? If you need prayer, I just want to make this invitation right now. I believe heaven is here. Amen? The power of heaven is here. Why? Because Jesus is here. The Holy Spirit is here. And they're representatives of heaven. God's angels are here. Where are they? You can't see them. They're operating. They're the stage crew. You can't see them, but they're operating. And I want you to just believe. Amen? I want you just to receive. I don't even want anybody saying anything. I just want you to receive. Amen? God has made heaven available to you. All of heaven's best, all of heaven's benefits, all of heaven's goodness is yours. And I want you to see you with it. Amen? Say, I'm a possessor. And for those of you that are sitting down, I just want you to pray and just worship the Lord. Amen? Let's just connect with heaven. Amen? Father, right now, oh, we just give you thanks and praise. Hallelujah. Healing, right? Oh, thank you, Lord, right now. Father, I just thank you that healing is heaven's will. And Father, healing is occurring right now in this body. I don't care if this has been with him for a long time. Right now, in Jesus' name, there is power to make him whole in Jesus. There were many lame men who were commanded to arise and take up their mat and walk, and they did, and they were healed and whole in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Healing is a gift. Oh, healing is a gift. It is God's will for you to be healed. He wants you healed and whole. So right now, Father, I speak healing, healing, healing. Healing is the children's bread, and you're a child of God. Healing is under the atonement. Oh, hallelujah. Healing occurs because it's Jesus' will. He went about doing the Father's will, healing all those who were sick and oppressed of the devil. Devil, I command you to take your hands off him right now. I command him to be released right now from all sickness and disease and strengthen his body right now. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, right now. Yeah. Thank you, Lord, right now. Oh, hallelujah. I just want you to see yourself. Because of what Jesus did, he's qualified you to be a partaker of all of heaven's goods. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you. Yeah. Hallelujah. Wow. It's good when heaven comes in. Amen. So we're going to continue on with this. And thank you for coming out tonight. And thank you for hooking up with God. And just let heaven invade your job. Heaven invade your home. You know, and heaven's not limited to a place or a time. You know, when Fiona takes a shower, heaven invades that shower. Amen. And that's the beauty of heaven. God knows how to communicate with you. He knows how to get in touch with you. And just listen and do. And I'll guarantee you will have heaven on earth in greater degree. You know, as you study, we're going to study Deuteronomy chapter 11. We're going to see how things are different. Amen. God bless you. Have a great night. Be blessed.